We stand in him because he has first given his life for us. We rest in him. And as you heard in our reading from Acts, and we're working our way through the book of Acts in kind of big thematic chunks, you heard that the apostle Peter and John, when they were asked to explain how it is that they changed from these fearful disciples who were locked in the upper room and were then in the temple, not only proclaiming Jesus, but in Jesus' name healing someone, when they were asked to explain, they said it's in his name. It's in Christ alone. In the name of Jesus, we are able to do these things and live in this way. We just sang a few moments ago, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And when I think of my own life, whether it's, you know, 30 wheelbarrows worth of mulch getting laid in the back flower bed and the soreness of back that comes thereafter, or it is the bills that have to get paid and all of those normal things of life, I think sometimes the weight of those normal things, the realness of it, of arthritis, of hearing issues, of worries about sickness and tests and worries about the future of our country and the world and when will the pandemic ever end, all of this, the realness of that can sometimes feel more real to us than Christ alone. And so today, from the book of Acts, I think we get a little invitation. I think we get a little reminder to make the reality of Christ and Christ alone bigger in our eyes, bigger in our understanding, the real strength and the foundation for us of how we're going to manage through all the realness of life that's out there. And even maintain a degree of boldness and doing good in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has helped us. So that's our idea. We're acting on the faith. And from Acts chapter 4, we had this reading I want to share with you again. At the end of this story, as they have been warned not to preach in Jesus' name, and they get back together and they're praying, Lord, consider their threats, the threats of those who said, you shouldn't talk about Jesus so much. You shouldn't teach in his name. Consider their threats. And also then enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Now today, besides the realness of what's going on in this world, there is one other reality to mention, and that seems to be the shrinking numbers of people who identify as active Christians, who attend church services on a regular basis or depend on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of a tough time, and there's a challenge for us, I think, to just sort of be the salt and the light, be kind of quiet. But I would ask you and I to consider, when we think about this verse, to proclaim and to speak your boldly in the name of Jesus. Let's ask ourselves, where's the boldness today? Where's the boldness of action that God's people, the church, are taking? Where are those same signs and wonders that the apostles prayed about, that they accomplished back there in the book of Acts? Did all of that just end then? And now it's just us kind of huddling and waiting for the end, for all this reality to end and all of Jesus' reality to get revealed. Is that where we are? I want to suggest that there is a work that is trying to wear down the church, wear down you and me, to just settle for getting by and maintaining. In 1 Timothy, we read this, that the Spirit clearly teaches that in the latter times, the times we're living in the latter times, some will abandon their faith, and they will instead following deceiving spirits and the things taught by demons. There's so much teaching out there, so much misinformation. In Paul's time, he's writing about some people who had said that the resurrection's already happened, There are others who are you know, promoting similar things that are maybe adding to Scripture or diverting our attention away from Jesus alone. And to that, we have so much to watch out for. This teaching that comes through hypocritical liars and whose consciences have been burned as with fire, this teaching, this distracting, all of this videos we can watch here and podcasts we can listen to there and all the other things, the reality, it seems, of this world and life and the news can take our eyes off of this focus of Jesus and Him alone. And that's why I think that the words that they spoke, that Peter mentioned here in Acts chapter 4, back there at verse 9, are so, so important for us. You are called to, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and was being asked how he was healed, then know this, all you and all people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus. They were taking an action. They were being called into account or questioned, why are you doing it? How did you do it? And they had an answer. And I think it is important for us to consider today the actions God wants us to take in His name and for the sake of His kingdom. As they went on to say in that passage, you know, here's Peter quoting from the Old Testament, that Jesus was the stone the builders rejected, but He's actually become the cornerstone. That salvation is found in no one else, because there is no other name under heaven by which mankind can be saved. Has to be saved. It's Jesus. He is the culmination of the plan of God. And I realize that this world's gone on for 2,000 years since He came and gave His life on the cross and rose again and ascended back into heaven at the culmination of that plan. But it doesn't mean that His work was the culmination, but it doesn't mean our work is done. It doesn't mean we just get to hold on and hang out and sing some nice songs. It's also an opportunity for us to show acts of kindness, to continue on in the same path as Jesus and the disciples. Do you notice something else that was in that passage? And maybe this can help us. The courage that was there in Peter and John, they noticed, where did that courage come from? These had been the guys hidden in the upper room, a fearful earlier, just Easter night, just a few weeks earlier. These are the guys who seemed to stumble and bumble, and even Peter had denied even knowing Jesus. How did they get so bold and so courageous? These people who didn't believe in Jesus, didn't trust in Him, noticed they spent a lot of time with Him. And when you and I spend a lot of time with Jesus alone, we can read other things, we can listen to other things, we can watch other things, but when we spend time with Him and Him alone in His Word, there's some boldness and courage that can come for us too. There's a clarity that comes from, maybe this thing in the world, maybe this thing in my life isn't all as important and consuming as I thought it was. Maybe as tough as even a diagnosis of cancer or other serious illness is, there is something even greater than that, which is the promise that there is nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, that love that is in Christ alone. So here they were saying this. He says He's become the cornerstone. I think it's a great reminder for us that Jesus is the head. He's the head of the church. He's the founder and the finisher of our faith. He's the foundation on which we stand. And He's also the power. By giving us His Holy Spirit, by His words in the Bible, He is the one who gives us the power to live in Him and listen to Him alone. Peter and John and James were a little confused about that when they were up on top of the mountain. They were excited. They're like, what Jew would not have been excited to see the hero of their faith, Moses, to see the first of the prophets in getting to see Elijah. Wow, what a moment that would be. So they wanted to honor Elijah and Moses and Jesus. By implication, they wanted to make them equal. And God the Father had something to say about that, didn't He? He said, and as we have it recorded in Luke 9, verse 35, God spoke from this cloud. This voice said, "This is My Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to Him." And then when the cloud went away, when the voice had spoken, they saw Jesus alone. Jesus by himself, not Moses, not Elijah. Jesus is the one that we tune into. You know, I'm aware that we have our favorite programs, our favorite news channels and everything else. But I just wonder if we invested as much time in listening to that news channel, listening to that broadcast, in we invested that much time in reading our Bibles and listening to Jesus, just how much more secure might we be? How much more at peace might we be? How much bolder and in active service of love and kindness to others might we be if it was his voice we were listening to the most? We have to manage the things of this life. We got to look out for our finances and for our health. We have to manage our time and our connections with people. That's all true. But if we seek first his kingdom, Jesus alone, and his righteousness, his strength, that he would give us boldness, everything else tends to work out just fine. Maybe an example of that was Martin Luther himself, who said once, "I'm so busy today, I have so much I have to manage, I'm going to pray for 3 hours to Jesus instead of just two." Maybe we can begin to see just how important it is we have his power helping in us. And I think that the epistle lesson that Curtis read for us earlier is so important to get us there, that we stand in Christ alone as we face all the things of this world, but we also continue in him. It's not as if, all right, we're just done. We're just in this holding pattern, waiting for Jesus to come back. We continue in him, which means we continue to do the good things Jesus did. We continue to share the good word of grace that he shared. Here's how that epistle lesson put it in Colossians 2, verse 6. "But then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." We get good reminders on Sundays of this. This, I hope, is it's a reminder for me. The things I might have to worry about, the things I might have to manage, that this Sunday morning is a great reset and reminder. Keep your eyes on him. Pray to him. Seek him. Serve him. Share him. How we need that the rest of the days of the week too, though, don't we? When the reality of the leaky pipes, or of the balancing of the checkbook, or the worry for a loved one, when all those other realities creep in, let's continue in Christ and let him be our greatest reality. Let him be our strongest foundation. Let him be our most frequent answer. And let his loving acts of service, and even bold acts like those apostles, let that be what we continue in. Continue in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith we were taught. Strengthened in that faith so we can work our way through and endure and even manage just fine all of those other things of this life. You've heard me say many chaplaincy stories, and I'll tell you just one more. It is an interesting experience to go from room to room and see the people who trust in Christ, who even in the face of their very serious illness, have a peace on their face and a calmness in their voice, because they know that no matter what any disease may do to them, God's not going to let them go. And contrast that with going into another room with someone so fearful, someone so worried. You know, I don't want to miss out on my child's graduation. I don't want to miss out on my daughter giving birth to her first child. And I'm too afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. The peace of Christ, continuing in him, what we have been taught, overflowing with thankfulness, and making sure no one takes us captive to say, "Oh, did you hear about this? You know, you really need to be aware of this. You really need to trust in this. We really need to buy some of this." It's him and him alone, and not just that's how we're going to overcome these, as the verse goes on, elemental and the spiritual forces of this world. Another way to say it then is, as we kind of wrap up, is continue in him to do good. Doesn't Jesus continue to do good to you? Yes, the pipes leak. Yes, the struggles happen. But doesn't he continue to show you his grace? His mercy's new to you every morning. Let's continue in him. and do good to others, even as he has done to us. And we can even pool that together as we continue to try to do that in our church and through our preschool and all of those families. Let's continue in him, because Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 tells us, if we don't grow weary, if we keep on doing good, if we remain in Christ and we keep doing good and bold and kind things in his name, we're going to reap a harvest. It'll come. It takes a while to go from seed all the way to full stalk and to harvest. It takes a while for our tomato gardens to grow. It's going to take a while for us doing and sowing seeds of kindness where we can. But when we don't give up, when we even do it among the family of God and among others, we're going to reap a harvest. That's his promise. That's the promise of Jesus alone, and I want us to trust it. And then just maybe one last scripture that I think hits us with all the uncertainty, with all the, you know, the world's going to end and all these things that are saying, the, you know, the political unrest, social unrest, civil unrest, all of it that's happening. Let's you and I not be overcome by fear. Let's you and I not be overcome by evil. Or by false teachings, philosophies, the things whispered about, we talked about earlier. Let's instead overcome those things. Let's overcome the darkness with light. It's an interesting thing. When the sun sets, the darkness grows. Your house gets darker and darker and darker. Flip on light, one light switch, light one candle, and the darkness is overcome. When you shine your light, when you flip on your light, when you turn on your candle, when I also then shine and share that kindness that he's given to us, we overcome the evil. We overcome the darkness. We keep on doing good through Christ alone. So let's overcome with that goodness. Let's overcome with the good love he gives us and the good strength that Jesus shares with us, the strength that will only come from him. Let's hold on to that. And may he be glorified. May Christ alone be our strength in which we stand. Amen. Amen.